I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I assist women in optimizing their chances of having an empowering and natural birth experience and a nourishing and healing postpartum. I offer holistic birth preparation and postpartum online courses worldwide for the conscious mama wanting to prepare emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually for her birth and for her postpartum. And if you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. If you had a natural and empowering birth experience that you would like to share with the world, then you can email me at annathespiritualmidwife@gmail.com, and maybe your story will be featured on the Natural Birth Podcast. Now let's dive into today's episode. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have my dear midwife, colleague, and friend, Libby. Libby is a mama of three from New South Wales, Australia. She is an independent, endorsed midwife in the Byron Shire and surroundings, and in my opinion, the best. I've been trying for over a year to lure her onto the Natural Birth Podcast to share her birthing stories and her birthing wisdom, and today I finally got her. Libby has incredibly fast births. Her first baby was born in the car on the way to the hospital. Her second was monitored in the hospital due to her history of fast births. And her third was in her home. And her planned home birth was the best decision she ever made. So today, dear listener, you get to hear from Libby, a midwife with over 25 years of experience and a mama of three. Curious about Libby? Find her at midwifelibby.com. Hi, Libby, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, or should I say welcome to me, to your home.
Yeah, welcome.
Yeah, well, thank you. Finally, we're sitting here together. I mean, we've been chatting. I've been trying to get you on the Natural Birth Podcast for over a year, and you've been like, yes, yes, and then we caught up, and then we'd chat about something else, and the time ran out, and okay, next time, and you know, it's been a trial and error process, but now we're here and I'm very happy.
I'd like to say I'm really excited, but I'm probably more nervous than excited about talking about my birth. And they're a long time ago now. Like, I have a daughter who's 38, a son who's 37, and one who's 32.
Yeah, it's a long time ago for sure. And so obviously that will be reflected in your memories as well and your sharing. But one of the biggest reasons I wanted you on, obviously, because I'm really curious about your birth stories. I just found out actually that one of them I had no idea about, which we'll, you know, obviously talk about soon. But also because, you know, you're one of my really good friends and I really admire you as a midwife. I think you're one of the absolute
you know, most amazing midwives in the Byron Shire. And, you know, anyone listening living in Byron, go with Libby Lamb, because Libby is truly so woman-centered. You are all about the woman. And, yeah, I feel like I learned a lot from you. And I just think we're going to have a fun conversation. And then I know there's going to be pearls of wisdoms coming through that, you know, we both obviously haven't planned. And, yeah, just our conversation, I think, is going to bring a lot of a laughter and interesting pearls of wisdom.
Oh, thanks for talking me up.
Well, my pleasure. It's all true.
Probably feel even more nervous now, like about living up to expectations.
Oh, stop it, Libby.
which women do talk about, don't they? About, yeah, you know, the expectations that they put on themselves.
Mm. Yeah. Gosh, yes, of course. And I mean, that's a human trait that most of us do, I think. But anyways, let's actually just kind of dive into your birth story. Mm-hmm. So you are so welcome to start wherever you'd like with your first.
Yeah, I'll probably start with my daughter's birth. So I was 19 when I had my daughter. I was a complete airhead. Really, yeah, didn't have like a lot of direction in my life. But certainly having a baby at 19 just, I don't know, really galvanized my direction. And I was really, really orientated towards home birth. I don't know why, because my parents were really, really conservative, and they not insisted, but I was seeing a private obstetrician during that pregnancy, and I was really embarrassed and he was really embarrassed. Yeah, I was really uncomfortable in his rooms. Yeah, I wasn't in a stable relationship. I wasn't even, I wasn't even sure if I was going to like keep that baby, if I was going to relinquish that baby. Yeah. So I was just so uncomfortable.
Wow. That's
But
deep.
I sought out, home birth, groups, and I felt really at home. And I just, when I walked in and I'd be, you know, they'd be asking me where I'm going to birth, and, you know, I probably said hospital, or I was undecided, but they were just really accepting of that. So, and I would go to the library and I'd get books about home birth and eating your placenta. And I was like, yeah, this is how it should be done. I just intuitively knew that that's how it should be done.
So cool. At 19 as well.
At 19, but I don't know why. No. I don't know.
Were you quite alternative as a person?
Maybe. I'd had a really conservative upbringing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know if that was rebellion.
Yes.
That probably was just rebellion. Yes, I'll sort you out.
Doing the opposite, yeah.
Yeah, I'll go and get pregnant at 19.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. But so my birth with – so I had Kate in the car on the way to the hospital, and I probably was in labor all weekend, but didn't really sort of recognize pre-labor. I did go to some birthing classes, but I walked in and there were sort of all these happy, loving couples, and I was like, oh, I don't belong here. Mm. So I only went to one. But yeah, so thought I was in labor. Well, no, I didn't actually think I was in labor. I was irritable. I was uncomfortable. Yeah, back achy. But didn't really recognize it as labor.
And was that like for a whole weekend? You just had
A whole weekend. Yeah. I was just, a whole weekend. And I think that's the beauty of being 19 and just being a complete airhead and, basically just ignoring what was going on. Yeah, maybe denial. But then I might have even seen the obstetrician on the Monday. He may have done an internal, I don't actually recall, and said something twee, like, oh, you'll labour soon, or, you'll go soon.
Right.
Maybe he didn't. I don't actually recall.
Yeah, it's quite a long time ago.
So then that night I had sex with my boyfriend about 10 o'clock, and by 12:30 she was out. I just went into this kind of really So I was obviously partially dilated.
obviously.
My waters broke and I was just in full-on labor.
Wow. Like, so before that, you were kind of mooching. You were kind of like just niggling. You felt uncomfortable, irritated, but you didn't really know you were actually in labor. You had sex at 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock, yes.
And then at 11.
She was born at 20 to 12 or 20 past 12. It was just really violent, cataclysmic. I don't know. And we were at my place and I just remember screaming and screaming blue murder, just thinking I'm just going to die. Yeah. And my boyfriend partner had rung my mother, who thought, oh, it's their first baby. They're just panicking, like took a time. Because my partner had lost his license.
Oh, so you needed her to drive.
We needed her to transport us. So
did you literally have sex and then your contractions that you had breaking the waters?
Literally. Yeah.
Oh, that broke your waters having
sex. Yes.
Yes, right. Goodness me.
Because it just happened almost. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I got in the car and I just shut the fuck up. They put me on the back seat and I was just really calm. And I just remember lying on the back seat and just looking out at the stars. And I don't know if it was the motion, it was just the stars. I don't know. It was just really calming, because women often talk about like how that trip to hospital is so torturous.
Yeah.
But it was just really calming.
Wow.
And I think we knew we weren't going to make it to the hospital. We stopped at the ambulance station. A woman ran out by the name of Daphne, caught the baby. I mean, she was crowning. She'd been exposed to the night air, so they wrapped her up in alfoil and took her to the hospital. I remember her saying, could you please call the baby Daphne? I haven't called a baby before. And it's like, I'm really indebted to you, but I don't know if I can...
That's horrible.
Call the baby Daphne. But I actually really like that name.
It's a big ask for someone to say, you know, hey, so you caught your baby.
Can you call it Daphne? I think she was just so excited that it was the first baby she'd caught. So we went to the hospital. We were separated.
Did you have the placenta in the car?
Yeah, no, we had the placenta in the birth suite. And I remember my partner saying, she doesn't want any drugs. She's just done this drug free. And they just gave me. But, you know, this is 38 years ago. So
it still happens, though, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm. And I did have some tearing. So the obstetrician, I just remember he came in his pajamas. You could see his pajamas underneath. And he did the suturing. And then I was so pleased afterwards, because I'd heard that this obstetrician, he'd been called whatever his surname was, Chopley. Well, ooh, probably shouldn't mention his surname. No. But
confidentiality.
Yeah, that he was very episiotomy happy. Oh, so, yeah. Good. I think it was just meant to be, that I was meant to have her in the car and, yeah.
How did you feel about that, though? Like, was that a trauma for you, or were you empowered, or what were you feeling?
It's really interesting, because years and years later, I just sat in on a birth class, birthing from within, and we were instructed to draw pictures of, you know, how we saw our birth, or if we'd had a baby, how our birth looked like. And everyone was drawing these beautiful sort of flowing rivers and rocks and like those sorts of scenes. And I just drew a volcano.
Well, it happened to you, though, didn't it?
Like it was volcanic. And that was such a revelation. It was like, oh, wow, that's how my birth was. It was volcanic, cataclysmic, that's the right word. I don't know.
How did it impact you, though? Was that a start of you being interested in being a birth worker at all?
Yeah, because it was just the most cathartic experience. I think as a woman, it probably is the most cathartic experience that you can have. Well, for me it was. Mm. Yeah, I have to own that. And I mean, even breastfeeding, I mean, I was in a dormitory style ward, and there was all these women having breastfeeding issues, and I was like, you pick up the baby, you put it on the breast. Like, How hard is that? Like, but that's once again being 19 and just not overthinking.
Yeah.
Anything.
And there is also something about birthing when you are younger that is,
sure,
you know, we know that births usually are easier.
I don't know that I would,
I mean, having a volcanic birth like you was not easy. That's not what I mean. But I mean, for the body to, sure, open, and they're usually more smooth in, yeah, that way. I do not mean that they're any in any way, yes, easier. But, you know, birthing at 19 and birthing maybe at 40, your first baby, tend to, not always, because there's absolutely a range of experiences, but yeah.
So, yeah, but certainly your I think your body knows what to do. I mean, I labored so efficiently, like,
gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost too efficiently.
Almost too efficiently. Yes. But I just think it was how it was meant to be.
Yeah.
So then my second baby, we were traveling around Australia. We were actually going to go to India with a six-week-old baby, and people said, oh, my God, your baby will die if you take it to India. So we bought a combi and, you know, traveled around Australia.
As you do.
But, I mean, the baby probably would have been really protected because I was fully breastfeeding. But anyway, yes. So I fell pregnant. There's only 17 months between the first two, and I was really in a state of shock. I hadn't processed that birth. And, yeah, I just wasn't, yeah. I was just, I think I was in shock.
Yeah, well, definitely wasn't planned, obviously.
Yeah, that pregnancy. And so I had him in hospital. Once again, a really precipitous labor. I think I was walking around, I think I was probably walking around about 7 centimeters dilated, not knowing, went for a visit. They did an internal, and I was 7 centimeters. They, wow, yeah, admitted me to hospital, broke my waters, and I literally had him 20 minutes later.
Wow, they are really precipitous.
Yeah, So, and I remember, like, advocating for myself. That was in the days when they put CTGs on just everybody.
Right, yeah.
And I remember saying, you know, no, I don't. Well, I don't know if I objected to the CTG, but they did enemas and shaves, and I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah, that's so crazy that they did that.
So crazy, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But how was that birth for you? Was that easier to handle because it was?
It was still really, like, it felt really violent, like, because it was so quick, and, you know, who knows how long I would have walked around that dilated. I don't know. I just don't dilate up silently, but they're just, I didn't get into a regular pattern. And women, you know, don't do that necessarily do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, we expect women to have a textbook labor. Who has a textbook life?
No,
who has a textbook
one.
Labor? No one.
No.
But we're trying to fit women into.
Yeah. Well, you're not you and I, but yes.
Yes. Yes.
That is definitely not our.
Do you want a natural birth, Mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready, body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. www.thebirthpodcast.com.
And then, so 6 years later, so I had wanted to do midwifery. There was no direct entry midwifery courses. So I went and did nursing, and I was three quarters of the way through nursing, and I fell pregnant with my last baby. Mm. So, but this time it was like, I am having my home birth. I am doing this, you know, my way, on my terms. So, so I had him at 37 weeks. He was my biggest baby. He was 4 kilos. So I'd gone from having, you know, a 6 pound baby because I gave up smoking, to a 9 pound baby. And I just remember, I mean, once again, my labor was sort of no pattern. Mm-hmm. I called my midwife, and she was on her way to Sydney.
Oh.
And she said, I'm taking people to the airport.
Did she know your history?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she would have.
So why did you call her? Like, so you felt something.
Yeah,
something,
I did my own VE. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm 4 centimetres. Like,
wow, brilliant. Yeah.
And so she said, oh, I'm going to Sydney. It doesn't sound like you know.
Did she? Oh, so, history.
But then there was a midwife that lived a few doors up, and she was actually the manager of the local unit. And wow. I remember just going and knocking on her door and going, like, I didn't know this woman, but I remember going and knocking on her door and going, if I, like, you know, labor really quickly, will you attend me? Like, and her face was just sort of ashen, like she was kind of, oh my God. So, but that didn't need to happen. And I think she'd actually met me with my first baby because the media had wanted to come to the hospital because she was born in a car, and and I'd said, no, look, I have relatives that don't even know I've had a baby.
Yeah.
But so I just had two really good friends with me, my partner, the older two children were there, and I thought I would want them at the birth, but I think I recall ringing my mother-in-law and said, take them away. I just really never want to see them again. Like, I just could not.
Yeah.
They were just, you know, in my face. And then, I mean, my midwife, who I just loved, like, you know, I remember going to see her for my antenatal visits, and I'd be like, I can't do this. I can't do this at home. I think my partner was having a raging affair during that pregnancy. Oh. And I just think, I can't do this. And I go and see her, and I don't think I ever disclosed to her that was, you know, what was going on. But I just remember walking away every visit. I'd be walking away and just feeling, I can do this. I'm going to do this. Like, but... yeah, for my birth, she came back. She dropped her friends at the airport and came back. And I remember her sort of sitting around in the corner, like, looking really pissed off because I was just taking so long this time, after having these sort of two precipitous births. And that's why I always say to clients, oh, the third birth is a bit of a wild card. But I don't know. I think I was just, I don't know. Maybe I knew it was going to be my last baby.
Yeah.
But I think it got too close to midnight, and my midwife said to me, do you want to go to hospital? And I remember going, being really shocked, like, why is something wrong? But I think, you know, it was just taking a while. And so she said, look, well, all of us will go. We'll leave you two, you and your partner.
Well, I mean, maybe she was thinking, because both of us know that, don't we, that sometimes women say they want a home birth, but actually they're afraid of birthing in the end in the home. And so as soon as you go to hospital, they have a baby, or even on the transfer there. And so maybe she just thought to offer it to see if
that... But I remember that question just really kind of, you could have hit me across the face with a wet fish. I was like, no, because I was probably really enjoying, like, my partner was making a cake and that smell was just, and I felt, I never felt fearful.
Did you have contractions at this point?
Yeah, I probably was. I mean, I was walking around the block. They were a bit sporadic. But I thought, no, this is great. Like, I'm actually really enjoying this. So everyone left, and so we made love, and then basically, my waters broke, and I had him, 10, 20 minutes later.
And it seems to be the thing for you.
Yeah, but I still found that birth. I mean, I remember sort of groveling around on the floor going, I can't do this, I can't do this. It's like, this is your third baby. Like, it's interesting that, I hadn't said that in my other, but he was a much bigger labor, a much bigger baby. But I think after that birth, I was like, oh, Everest, bring it on. I can do anything. Like, and I think that birth really, I mean, I did go and do Base Camp Everest. Like,
what?
Yeah, really? I mean, not the next day. Like,
no, obviously. Yeah. Not
a decade or so later. But that birth just gave me the strength to, I think, finish my nursing diploma, go and do midwifery, and leave the toxic relationship that I was in. So,
wow.
Yeah, I do. I just remember kind of, I just walked around like just high-fiving myself, like I did it. I did it without the establishment. I didn't, hemorrhage to death, or I didn't have a shoulder dystocia, or, I was... I was so fucking proud of myself that, I had done it. And I'd done it the way I had envisaged and I wanted to. And I just remember being so indebted to one of my friends who was there, and I had actually been with her for her last baby. But I just felt like she was the one that got me, like, through that birth, just kept telling me I could do it, and I was going to do it, and I had it. And, my midwife was there, but I really felt indebted to this friend. So it's that, that woman power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And someone you really know and trust that you love and that loves you.
So, yes, I did go back, and I did go back to uni with a 6-week-old baby.
Wow.
I thought I was going to die that year, but I just knew I had to finish.
Yeah.
Finish nursing, and then I had 9 months off, and then I went and did midwifery. And it was the first year that midwifery had gone into university, so we were treated like absolute freaks.
Yeah.
So... and then, midwifery has just been my life, basically.
You really live and breathe.
Well, you do. It's just all-consuming profession.
Especially when you're independent and you're on call, and it's very different from shift work as well.
Yeah.
So with the last one, what did you do with the birth of the placenta this time around?
Because obviously buried it. Yes, it didn't get thrown into the contaminated. And there wasn't sort of, the commodification around placentas or the reverence for placentas that there is now. I mean, God, no one, took their placenta home. The only thing I knew about placentas was sort of frying them up, like with onions and eating. Well, that was one of the recipes.
Right.
So, but no, we kept this placenta and buried it.
Oh, beautiful. That's lovely. I really love that tradition. I feel very connected to that tradition.
Of burying.
Burying placenta.
Yeah. No, it's interesting how, we've come. Like the journey with the placentas, they just got thrown in the contaminated waste.
They still do. Most of the time.
Yeah, this organ that has just nourished your baby for, there's no kind of reverence for it, is there?
Like, there's so many cultures and traditions, the Polynesian one, kind of see it as almost like the twin, right? Or like the protective angel, or the,
or the grandma.
Yeah, the grandma. Different kind of.
Let's wait for the don't hurry the grandma.
Oh, I love that.
I love that at birth. Like, just keep your hands off.
Yeah.
Don't hurry the grandma.
I've never heard that. The grandma.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Isn't that a beautiful?
Oh, where's that from?
Astra.
Astra's another midwife.
Astra's one of my working wives.
Maybe yeah. It's her saying. Is it maybe her saying? It's,
yeah. I don't know that. Where. Yeah, I love it too.
Oh my God. I'm gonna start saying that. Oh, I love that. Yeah. The grandma.
The grandma. Don't hurry the grandma.
Because she's so wise.
Because she's so wise. Mm. So don't hurry her. Just let her come.
Beautiful. Well, yes, I love the center. So Libby, as you know, because you've listened to the podcast, I always ask each mama about their pearls of wisdom and advice. And so I'm going to ask you, if you had a first time mama in front of you right now, who's about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice or pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
Follow your intuition. Follow your intuition. Like, home birthing isn't for everyone.
No.
Just follow your intuition. Yeah. And I think, I've been doing this gig for 28 years. Every birth I learn something.
Yes.
So it's so humbling. And I always lived off Nikki Leap's words, the more we know, the less we know.
Absolutely.
I feel like that, yeah. The more I think I know, the less I actually do know.
Yeah.
You know. And any time I think, yeah, okay, I'm all over this, or I've, yeah, nailed this, like the rug will be pulled from underneath me and I'll have to unpackage and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's, I don't know, I'm there's so much commodification, I think, now around pregnancy and labor, the postnatal period, which is great, but it's almost like, yeah, there's almost too much knowledge. And then you're not trusting.
You're looking outside of yourself.
You're looking outside of yourself. You're looking for external, factors, like, but it's, all the resources are within us. And just follow your intuition. I wish I'd followed my intuition at 19 and, had that first baby. Well, I did labor at home and avoided, birthing in the hospital. Your intuition.
I love that. Well, I feel like that's also why I personally think that, you're a great midwife, because I really feel that you embody this both as a woman, but also as a midwife with your women, that, you bring it back to them, what do you think? And, really, I feel like because of you having that kind of way of seeing life and viewing pregnant women as sovereign beings, you treat them as sovereign. Obviously, we know that everyone should be treated as sovereign, but you really do that. And it puts the responsibility back to the woman, going, what is it that I believe? What do I feel and know within myself? And we know that, as midwives, the more a woman is connected to her baby and learns her baby's rhythm, communicates and tune inward, the better the result. And so I couldn't agree more.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Libby, for coming on the Natural Birth Podcast. Finally! It's been a joy hearing about your amazing births.
Thank you, Anna. And I'm so sad you're going, but I know you'll continue your, amazing work, overseas or in your homeland.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Libby. I will miss you. For everyone listening who doesn't know, I currently am living.
I'm just out of you. Sorry, Anna. Sorry.
No. I lived in Australia for the last 6 years, mostly here in the Byron Shire, and now I'm returning to Sweden, which is my homeland. And I will miss Libby very much and the beautiful home birthing community that is here and the wise women that live in this area. But I will be back and we will definitely keep contact. Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please share it.
rate it on iTunes and leave a comment. If you want to connect on social media, you can find me on Facebook as The Spiritual Midwife or on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Thank you for listening.